This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this final Sunday of the year. An old hymn in the church concludes with the words, "Our Heavenly Father watches over us." The Bible tells how God the Father carefully watched over the child Jesus, for his mission on earth was vital to the salvation of mankind. But is God mindful of our lives? In today's message, we talk about how God's protective hand guides and directs us each and every day.
Another year has gone, and a new year will begin. Is it not true that our Heavenly Father has kept His watch over us, and we're not going to walk alone, but our Heavenly Father watches over us? Lord Jesus, as we continue to celebrate Christmas, in the sense that You have come to this world to be the God incarnate, to grow up, to live, and finally to suffer and to die as a payment for our sin. Lord, we thank You that Your word does give us a peek into the early years of Your life, and we see how truly the Heavenly Father watched over His Son while He was here. Grant also, O God, that we may have that same experience as we are obedient to Your word. This we ask in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. God's word, as it is recorded in the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up. He took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said to the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said to the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets: "He will be called a Nazarene." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, we don't have too much information of the early years of Jesus' life, but the Bible does give us bits and pieces of what happened during those early years. It tells us what a fabulous job Joseph and Mary did in raising the child to manhood. Through all of this, we are aware that Jesus Christ is divine. He is the God incarnate. But he is also man, so we call him the God-man. He had to be raised. He had to be cared for as a man. Today, there are two parts to my sermon. The first is a historical view of Jesus' early childhood and God's protecting hand. The second part is, what does this say to us? So we go back to Bethlehem, where Jesus Christ was born. On the eighth day, according to the Gospel of St. Luke, Jesus Christ was circumcised and was given the name that the angel announced he should be called, and his name shall be Jesus. Then 40 days after his birth, the mother took the child to the temple for the rite of purification. There she presented the child and offered a sacrifice. While she was there, Mary met a person by the name of Simeon. Simeon said to her, as he took the Lord in his arms, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the light of all people." In other words, this old man who had lived in the temple was telling that this Savior, this babe, was no ordinary child, but that he had come to redeem the people of this world. And so he placed the child back in Mary's arms and assured her that she was the mother of the Messiah. Also at that time, she met Anna, who was 84 years old. She came to take a look at the Lord and said to those who were round about, "Here is the Redeemer of Israel." You see, the word from old Simeon and Anna was affirming to the people who had brought him into this world, that he truly was all that God had said he was. It was a way that they could affirm and make Mary and Joseph much more secure in their role as parents. And so they stayed in a house in Bethlehem until finally, one day, they had a visit from the Magi. Now, the Magi people were astrologers, and it is believed that they came from Persia. They came looking for the king of the Jews. It was evident that they were Gentiles. When Herod heard about this, and Herod was that ruthless king who killed his wife and his children and anybody else who got in his way, he said, "Where is this king of the Jews born?" And the Magi said, "Well, we understand that it's in Bethlehem of Judea." So he said, "Well, go and see, and when you have found him, come back and tell me, because I want to go and worship him too." The Magi were then on their way, and they saw the Christ, but they also got a word from the Lord that they should not return to Herod and tell him where Jesus lay. For it was true that old King Herod had no desire whatsoever to come and worship the king, but rather he was going to have him killed. Herod didn't want any competition. Well, when he found that the Magi had gone on their way and he had been tricked, he became so angry that he uttered a decree saying that all boys in Bethlehem and the surrounding area, 2 years old and younger, were to be killed. From this, we get a clue that Mary and Joseph must have lived in Bethlehem after the birth for up to 2 years. But now when the word came that they were to get out of there, the angel said, "Take him over to Egypt." So to Egypt they went. Now that was not strange, because there were colonies of Jews in Egypt and in the surrounding areas, so they could find people there with whom they could have some camaraderie. So off they went. And they stayed in Egypt until one day they got word that Herod had died and it was all right for them to return to Israel. However, on the way back, Joseph found out that Archelaus was now the king of Judea. And he was just as bad, if not worse, than his father. So he decided, in a warning by God in a dream, that he should not return to Bethlehem, but rather he should go to Nazareth. It's very interesting to notice that while Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus, he was certainly the one who cared for him, watched over him, listened to what God was saying to the angels and dreams, etc., and that through Joseph's tender care, Jesus Christ would grow up to manhood. So they settled down there in Nazareth, and we don't know how long that Joseph was alive. We know he was still there when Jesus was 12 years old, because they went up to the temple together, and Joseph was along with them. But after that, we know practically nothing from the age of 12 until 30, when he began his ministry. However, Nazareth was a very interesting place, and Joseph had a carpenter shop there, and tradition tells us that Jesus worked in the carpenter shop. In through Nazareth, which was on the trade route, came people from all parts of the world. This meant that Jesus was exposed to the cultures and the philosophies of his day. It was a broadening experience for him to be raised in Nazareth, for now he learned that God loved all people. Certainly he loved the Jews. They were his chosen people. But there were also millions of others whom he was concerned about, for he had been their creator too. Jesus learned that the kingdom of God was to not contain only one group of people, but the kingdom of God was for all nations. Myron Augsburger has put it so well. Jesus was not focused on a revival of Judaistic religion as much as he was to let people know the grace of God for all humankind. And so there Jesus grew up, carrying on every day in the carpenter shop, listening to the tales that must have come in and out of the shop, and soon it was that he began to understand that his message was for the people of every generation. He grew up then until 30 years of age, when that babe of Bethlehem's manger began his ministry, which ended on a cross, followed by an empty tomb and an ascension into heaven. And so while we still worship him as a babe of the manger, we know him as the risen Christ, the victor for us over sin, death, and the devil. Now, the second part of the sermon that I'd like to spend some time on this day is, what does this message really say to us? This, again, is a question that many people are raising. Does our Heavenly Father watch over us as he did over the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we expect such guidance and such direction as Joseph and Mary got? Is this protecting hand only for Jesus? Now, granted, Jesus was on God's special mission. He was fulfilling the way of salvation. He had come to redeem the people of the world. And of course, he had to have the protecting hand of the Heavenly Father while all this was in the process of happening. But it is also true today for us to proclaim that all people are precious and important in God's eyes. He is their creator. He is the one who has created them in his image. He is the one who has given a will to every person and a mind. Mind that can think, a will that can make a decision. He is the one who has given to us not only a body that we will use for a while and then it will return to the dust, but he has given to us a soul that is eternal. He is the same God who warns, guards, and protects us today as he did Jesus when he was here on this earth. He doesn't do this, in most cases at least, through dreams or through angels. I don't have angels waking me in the middle of the night and giving me direction. But sometimes as I am awake in the middle of the night, God speaks to me so strongly, but it is always through his word. That's the way that he speaks, friend. I'm going to protect you. I want to take care of you so that you do not come in harm's way. I want you to know that you should live the abundant life. And if you will follow me, then things will be okay. May not be that they will be without problems, but you will be spared much. Follow me and see how I will deliver you. That's a word that comes to us today. And the theme is, our Heavenly Father does watch over us. I don't know about you, but that sends a real thrill into my soul that my heavenly Father watches over me. Now you may say, well, tell me, how does he do that? All right, we live in his word. And one day, we're sitting having a devotion, a quiet time with the Lord. Some of that time where we're not just running, but where we're sitting. And we read this. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now that's a warning that comes to us from God for our day. Like God could have said to Joseph back in those days when he was raising Jesus, don't go back to Bethlehem. Archelaus is on the throne. He's a crazy man. And the boy will be killed. Joseph, listen. Now God is saying to us, look, an entirely different thing, of course. Simply as an illustration, the love of money is the root of all evil. He doesn't say money is all evil. He doesn't say we shouldn't go out and make money. He doesn't say that money cannot bring us great blessings. He says the love of money is the root of all evil. Now I have to ask you, friend, are you affected sometimes with the love of money? Well, many people are. But stop and think of the marriages that would be saved had it not been for the love of money. Think of the children who would have had both parents in formative years if it had not been for the love of money. But we've got to work, work, work to acquire more. And the little ones grew up, not really knowing quite yet who their parents were, for they were out after more money. Look at the friendships that we could enjoy had it not been for the love of money. Look at the heartaches that could have been avoided, the nervous breakdowns that never would have taken place, the suicides that would not have become reality had it not been for the love of money. Look at the wars that would have been eliminated had it not been for the love of money. Now you see, it wasn't an angel, nor was it a dream. It was a simple word from God that came to us, just like it was a word that came from God to Joseph. Look, if you do this, you're going to be in trouble. Be careful. Be careful. That's what I mean. When God says he loves us, he watches over us. But that means that we've got to listen to what he has to say. Does protection mean free of trouble? No. Did it free Jesus from trouble? Obviously it didn't, because he went to the cross to die, and there were many difficult hours between his birth and his death. Did it save the apostles from martyrdom? No. Will it save us? No. Only recently I have listened to two of my brother pastors tell me about losing a daughter-in-law from a terrible automobile accident, leaving a two-year-old son, or another one watching their son die at 38 years of age. Does the Heavenly Father watch over them? Yes, he does. It doesn't mean that we're going to be free of pain, free of difficulty. But if we'll listen, his heavenly arms will be around us. That is true as far as Joseph, Jesus, Mary were concerned. It's true with us today. What if Joseph had not been obedient as he listened? Things would have been bad. So here's a thought that I would leave with you today as we end an old year. Is it not true that our Heavenly Father has kept his watch over us? Another year has gone, and a new year will begin, and that we can end the old year with and begin the new year with, that we're not going to walk alone, but our Heavenly Father watches over us. Amen.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me.
Father in heaven, we thank you as we come to the close of another year that we have sensed your presence with us in good times and in bad times. Sometimes when we were so weak that we know not where to go, but there you stood with your arms stretching out and inviting us to come. So it is with confidence, Father, that we begin the new year, realizing that as the day is, so your grace is going to be for us, and that we can face all things victoriously in you. Thanks for the promise that we can begin this new year with. Our Heavenly Father watches over us. In your name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As another year comes to a close, we pray you may count the many blessings God has given you. We also pray this ministry has strengthened your faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by our listening family. As we reflect on the past year, we express a special thank you to each of you who sent a financial gift and prayed for our ministry. Both are vital for the important work of the gospel message and opening hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Our website also has many spiritual helps, including daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Please visit our website online at christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help defray production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day, and we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 77th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.